of the minor prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel. Come on. Where's Hosea? Okay. There it is. Hosea chapter 4. We're going to be in tonight. The prophet Hosea, his life was a living illustration to the nation Israel. He was told to marry a harlot named Gomer, no less. Shazam! And to have children from her. Children of harlotry, the Lord said. The first child, he married her, had a child named Jezreel, and God said, name Jezreel, which means to sow or to scatter, because the Lord was going to sow judgment, and he was going to scatter the nation. And then his second child, Lo Ruhamah, which means no mercy, because in that judgment, God was going to show no mercy whatsoever. And then he had a third child, Lo Ami, not my people, not mine. The illustration, Hosea, was a picture of the Father. Gomer was a picture of the nation Israel. She was a prostitute. Adulteress. It was a portrayal of how God viewed the nation Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel had left to follow other gods, to worship golden calves. This worship of idols was the giving of themselves to other gods when God saw himself as their husband. And so, because of that, he called it adultery. He called it harlotry. We saw that in the first three chapters. We saw Hosea, Mary, and Gomer having the kids. So in chapter 2, we saw the degradation of sin, how low you could go in sin. And then in the third chapter, Gomer has gone back to harlotry, and Hosea is told, go get her. Go get her, redeem her, and love her. Just as God would go after the nation Israel, redeem them, and love them. Just as God went after us and redeemed us and loved us while we were yet sinners. So we pick up here in chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. God calls the nation to court with this indictment. They're liars. They show no mercy. They swear. They kill. They commit adultery. And the reason is because they have no knowledge of God in the land. They're not pursuing after God. They kick God out. They don't want to hear from him. And what happens? Well, buy a newspaper. Turn on the news. Well, when God is removed from the land, all restraint is thrown off. And what we have is what we see in our society today. No truth? I mean, even presidents and congressmen, the leaders, pastors, priests, they lie without conscience. People go to court and I swear to God, and then they lie. Because there's no knowledge of God. They're just going for it. They don't care. All restraint has been cast off. Swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery. It's kind of a way of life. And there's bloodshed upon bloodshed. We had that. God didn't want to condemn the nation Israel. Do you understand this? He wanted them to repent. He has no joy in the death of the unrighteous. None. But he's a righteous judge, and so he's got to judge sin. He can't let the murderer go off, or he's unrighteous. He hasn't judged sin. In the same way, God has no joy in judging us. Jesus said that the Father sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God takes no joy in the death of the unrighteous. He doesn't want to judge man. But nonetheless, he will if man doesn't come to repentance. God wants to be our Father. He wants to be a Father like you have never known. Amy's got a great father. I mean, just a great daddy. But our God goes far beyond that. Provider, protector, redeemer. That's our God. And he wants to be a father to us. In the Lord Jesus, well, he wants you to be his bride. That's the relationship for Israel, God, the husband, to the church, Jesus, the husband, where he provides and protects. If we willfully reject him as our Lord, as our Savior, as our Father, as our husband, then we'll see him as our judge. That's how it is. Now, he brings these charges, and this is what he says. Therefore, verse 3, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beast of the field and the birds of the air, even the flesh of the sea will be taken away. When the children of Israel came into the promised land, God said, look, do this. Do this. Follow me. Obey my commandments, and I am going to bless your socks off like no one has ever seen. He promised them blessing. It was the promised land. That's the promise. Blessing from God. Showers from heaven. But he also warned them, look, turn from me. Don't follow me. And I'm going to take all the blessings away. In Israel, your crops will fail. Wild beasts will come in and kill you. Your enemies will overrun you. This is not only true in Israel. It is a universal principle of God in this world. You can find it in Ezekiel 14. I read it this morning as I was going through my Devo and as I was preparing. I went, whoa, let's throw that in there. Ezekiel 14. This is what God says in verse 13. When a lamb sins against me, he says, when a lamb. He doesn't say Israel. He doesn't say some other. He says a land, generic, any land, any nation. When a nation, a land, a people sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, what would that be like? Continual sin?
Would that be continually killing babies? Would that be continually promoting homosexuality? We continually do that. Drunkenness, immorality, we continually, perpetually, persistently do this. He says, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. And check this out. Check this out. Even if these three men... No, was Noah a righteous man? Daniel? Job, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him. God says, even if these three, Noah, Daniel, Job, were in it, they would only deliver themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. That's frightening to me. Because I live in a land that sins against God persistently. And he says, if that happens, I'm going to cut off their supply. Now, in verse 4, he says, now, let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The northern kingdom of Israel was whacked out. The people, he says, your people are like those who contend with the priest. The priest. The Levitical priesthood. The Lord set up Aaron as high priest, the sons of Levi as priests, to represent the people to him. They were the mediator, the go-between. They represented people to God, and they represented God to the people. That's what priests were supposed to do. The northern kingdom, they divided, what was his name up there in the north? The king? Jerry the Bum. That's right. He went up there, and right away, the kingdom's divided. He sets up golden calves to worship them. Well, that isn't what God said to do. God said not to do that. But the people, we don't care. I can't hear you. It doesn't matter what you say. I can't hear you. Like people who contend with the priest. Man. Because they didn't follow the Lord, they had no knowledge of God, they threw off all restraint, they were involved in all kinds of sin and licentiousness. They created gods to worship. You didn't even have to be a Levite to be a priest. You could just be kind of a charismatic speaker. And if you wrote, like, a good book or something, or you had a good rap and you told people good stuff that they would feel good about, like, you could tell them how they could have their best life now, you know? Okay, well, that was a cheap shot. But it's like that. It was like that then. It's like that now. People get upset when you say that they're sinners. Except you. I don't know. What is with you? I keep telling you, you are, and you keep coming back. People don't want to hear the Word of God. They would rather hear about psychology, They would rather hear about feel-good messages. I mean, the Crystal Cathedral, they took a survey to hear what people wanted. And then they went and they built the church for the people in Orange County of what they wanted. And Ted Armstrong, what do you want? What can I tell you? That's how people became priests in the Northern Kingdom. If you had a good rap, if you were charismatic, if you could get people excited and to pay your salary, you could be a priest.
That's right. You could be a priest too. Call now. We'll show you how.
Because they were contending with God, he said, you shall stumble in the day. Now, it's understandable to stumble in the night because it's dark, right? But to be a stumbling in the day? Well, when you contend with God, when you won't listen to what he has to say, you're living in darkness. Day or night, you're in darkness, you're going to be stumbling. Verse 6, it may be familiar to you all, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Have you heard that before? Pastors like to use it. We like to beat you up on that. Well, not beat you up, just beat you. Spur you along, encourage you, exhort you. That's what it is. We like to exhort you to study your Bible. Because if you don't, what does it say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But there's more to it than just Bible study here. Look, read the whole verse here. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. Wasn't that the knowledge of God wasn't available to them? It was that they closed their ears to it. Oh, we don't want to hear it. No, that's what you say. Is it any different today? They were willfully ignorant of the things of God. And I think people today are willfully ignorant. Well, I believe, what's the basis of your belief? Is it biblical? Is it based on what the Bible says? People have rejected the knowledge that God has given them to chase after philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men. Just look. Do you know where the Methodist Church came from? Does anybody know? Huh? John Wesley. Oh, man. Godly man. Came here to have revival, realized he was on this ship with these Moravians, realized he wasn't saved. Got saved. Got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why they have that fire going up. That's a symbol of the Holy Spirit burning. Listen. The Spirit's left. The Spirit's left. They promote homosexuality and gay marriage. When did this happen? That's not from the Spirit of God. That's contrary. No, we know what it says, but they no longer teach that this is the inspired Word of God. This is written just by men in their seminaries. Is that the Spirit of God? Listen, there are There are good, godly brothers and sisters in the Methodist Church. I've met them. I'm blown away. Man, they love the Lord. But the leadership in that church is corrupt. But in the midst of still, there's these brothers and sisters, man. They rock. They love the Lord. They stopped teaching the Word of God. They stopped believing that the Bible was the inspired Word of God, period. And because of that, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they've rejected knowledge. It's just not, it's not just Methodists. It's lots and lots of churches. It could even be in Calvary Chapel. I don't know. It's not in here. Because we're gonna teach God's word, and I'm telling you, it's from the Lord. And we're not going to debate that. We're not going to take a vote on, what do you think? Do you think this is from God? Do you think this is inspired? It is, period. Okay? Period. And you need to believe that. Not because I said it, but because God said it. He said every word is God-breathed. It's from the Lord, right here. Now God says to those who depart from His word, who depart from the knowledge of Him, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Oh, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I haven't forgotten the law. I haven't forgotten His word. He's not going to forget my children and my children's children. He's going to remember them because I'm remembering His word. I'm trusting Him. But in our society, don't we see this? I know I'm old. I'm so stinking old. Your beard's grayer than mine, but I'm catching up, bro. I sound like an old guy. Oh, that's younger generation. But look, check it out, okay? Since Beaver Cleaver, each generation has gotten a little wilder, hasn't it? Y'all are so old. Old fogey. Because our society has forgotten the Lord. Our society's thrown off restraint. Hey, if it feels good, do it. You know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. And if perchance we meet, it's beautiful. You get this weird stuff when you're smoking a lot of dope, you know? Well, that's what they were doing! Oh, you were quoting that, Diane. Okay. Sorry. It came from David Thoreau, I think. I don't know. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they've rejected Him. Now, check this out. He says, the more they increase, the more they sinned against Me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of My people. They set their heart on their iniquity, and it shall be like people like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. The more they increase, the more they sinned against Him. Check it out. The priest! They increased. They were getting all these priests. Hey, I'm a priest of this. I'm a priest of Popeye. I'm a priest of SpongeBob. I don't know. Okay, I'm a priest of Baal. I'm a priest of Ashtoreth. I'm a priest of Mammon. I'm a priest of this. I'm a priest of that. They increased. Had all these different priests for all these different gods. But in the midst of it, they were still worshiping God. They were mixing. They were shuffling in these other gods with the worship of Yahweh. Now this gets bizarre. This gets really bizarre. So because they had the worship of Yahweh, the priests still had sin offerings. If you sinned, you took an offering to the priest. And you didn't take a bad offering. You were supposed to take the best, right? So you take a nice little lammy to the priest to offer it for your sin. The priest got a portion of the little lammy. They were getting fat and happy. The more the people sinned, the more they ate. And so sin increased. And the Lord says, because they have ceased obeying me, I'm going to judge them. Verse 11. Hey, do you know this? Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. Do you know this? Do you know this? Come on, you're adults. You should know this by now. There shouldn't be anyone in here that this shocks. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. Duh. Duh. Wine is a mocker. Alcohol can enslave you. Those who get drunk are sinning and they're unwise. Period. Fornication. Sex outside of marriage. And drunkenness was rampant in that society. Do you know that those two things go together? Do you all know that? Do you know that people will do things that they wouldn't normally do when they're drunk? Duh. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. Be wise. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, those are trees, because their shade is good. Therefore your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with the harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. The people of Israel were worshiping carved idols in the groves and in on what was called the high places, on the mountaintops. In this worship, the worship of Ashtoreth, the carved image was a phallic symbol. In the worship of Baal, he was seen as a fertility god. This is man-made religion at its worst. Some guys came up with this. Look, we'll get these prostitutes. We'll call them temple priestesses. We'll have sex with them. And that will make our crops more fertile. Shaking your head. Where do you think they got the temple priestess? They got them out of Israel. Their daughters, their children, their wives were going and participating in this.
Is this sick? God says, hey, you guys, because there's always seems to be a double standard with adultery. You know, what's not what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But God says, hey, check this out. Your wives go and do that? I'm not going to punish them. You guys came up with this crazy stuff and you're going out to these harlots. Why should I punish your wives? Why should I punish your daughters? The adultery, the worship of idols was spiritual adultery. But they added the physical act to it, so it was not only spiritual, it was physical. It says, I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices. He says, though, verse 15, though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor up to Beth Aven, nor swear an oath, saying, as the Lord lives. God warns the southern kingdom of Judah, do not come up here. Stay away from this place. This place is trouble. No, I'm going to go up there and worship. No, you're not. No, no, look, look. Israel and Judah, 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, 2 tribes in the south. We're kin, we're relatives. God says, to Judah, you stay away from them. Don't even go there. I know of a guy who came to Christ. I know he came to Christ. He asked Jesus into his life, asked him to forgive him his sins, to change his life. But there is a stronghold in his life. And that stronghold was his family. That every time he'd get around his family, he'd end up getting drunk. So you know what he did? Guess. Do you know what he did? Guess. Okay, well, let me tell you what he did. He stopped following the Lord. It was easier to stop following the Lord than to deal with the sin of drunkenness. I told him, if you're going to get drunk every time you're around your family, you best stop hanging out with your family. Oh, who are you to say that? Well, isn't that what Jesus said? Didn't he say if your right hand offends you to cut it off? That it's better to enter into heaven maimed than to enter into hell with 2 hands? I don't know. Look. God says, don't go up to the northern kingdom because if you get up there, you're going to fall into sin. And God tells us, stay away from those things that are going to lead you into sin. You already know what they are. You've been down the road enough. A man got up in the morning, walked down the road, fell in a hole. Took him all day to get out of it. Went home, he was tired, beat, exhausted. Spent all day trying to get out of that hole. Got up the next day, walked down the road, fell in the same hole. Spent all day trying to get out of the hole. Went home. Man, I can't believe. I'm going to be careful. Tomorrow I'm going to skirt my way around. I know that hole's there.
What, got up in the morning, went down the road, skirted around the hole and fell in.
Spent all day getting out. Next morning, got up, walked out, looked down the street,
went the other way. You already know where the hole is that you're going to fall in. Don't go that way. It's clear.
For Israel is stubborn,
like a stubborn calf.
You ever see calves? You can't call them like dogs
unless you're feeding them grain. And you tap on the can. You tap on the can. See? And then they think, they hear the sound. It's grain time. Here they come.
So my calves get out. Your mama's watching. She's at the house. She sees the calves. She's out trying to get them.
No, no. Go get the can. Tap on the can. Because calves are stubborn.
Calves, they come with their own guidance mechanism system. If you can grab a hold of that tail and ball it up, they will follow you.
I've seen it at the auction, man. They just grab a hold of them and drag them.
Oh, come on, it's okay.
God put the handle there, okay?
Okay?
Oh, that's terrible.
It's not like you're grabbing a cat and swinging it by the
I don't know, because y'all are acting like cat lovers, but I said calves, not cats. Calves, okay?
Okay, Israel is stubborn like a calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country.
It's not good for lammies to be foraging in open country. Do you know that?
You can set the calves out there on the range, and they'll do fine.
You put the little lammies out there?
Oh, man, it's lamb chops and mint jelly for the wolves and the coyotes. It's going to be dinner.
Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone.
God says, I'm going to deal with them. You don't want to be a part of that.
Let them alone. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. The wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifice.
The Lord says, hey, I'm going to put them out. They're going to be on their own. They're going to be like a lamb out in the field. By itself.
You know, if God takes his hands off of us.
No, I don't want your chastisement. I don't want to accept your correction. No, no, no.
Oh, no, you want his chastisement. You want his correction.
The worst thing that could possibly happen to you is God take his hand off you.
Stop correcting you.
Just throw you out there. Like a lamb in the field.
I've seen it happen. I know of people that it's happening to right now.
And I think of them and I pray for them because I don't want to see them get hurt.
But there's pain in their future. Because they will not accept the chastisement of the Lord.
Chapter 5, he says, hear this, O priest. Take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for yours is the judgment. Because you have been a snare to Mizpah and a net spread on Tabor. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter, though I rebuke them all.
I know Ephraim. And Israel is not hidden from me, For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. The Lord calls the entire nation to account, from the priest to the common people to the king. The entire nation was involved in adultery, both physically and spiritually. And because of that, the nation is defiled. He speaks of Ephraim. Ephraim was the largest tribe in the northern kingdom. And so he uses the name Ephraim and Israel interchangeably, okay? He says in verse 5, they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. They don't repent. For the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. The spirit of harlotry was in their midst because of their pride. Oh, you can't tell me? Oh, that might be okay for you. It's you believe what you want to believe, I'm going to believe what I want to believe. They had created gods of their own making. Out of their own minds, they created God. They rejected the God of the Bible and created another God so that they could justify their actions. Is that much different from today? It's the God of AA. It's the God of Oprah. And it's the spirit of harlotry. The worship of false gods. Our society not only condones this, our society promotes this. Whatever God works for you. We see so many wacky things that people worship. And this has been brought into the church too. Where we have this strange phenomena. It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but it's just not biblical. Holy laughter. Do you remember when that was going on? And Rodney Howard Brown.
Got a bubble in your belly. Got to let it out.
What's that? He was a great comedian. Made me laugh. You're laughing right now. And then they went from holy laughter to holy growling. And moaning. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's man's pride trying to conform God into being what they decided God should be. We got to watch out. We can do the very same thing. Look, God has revealed himself to us through his Son. God has revealed himself to us through his Word. Just stick there. Just stick in the Word. You'll be fine. With their flocks and their herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. Interesting. Interesting. Look, he says, with their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord. Why were they bringing flocks and herds? Because their sin abounded. Flocks and herds as offering. God says, I'm not going to. You can bring all the flocks and herds you want. I'm still not going to listen to you. In contrast to that, the Lord says that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Look, it's not ritual. It's a matter of the heart. And this is a fascinating thing.
thing to me. For they have begotten pagan children. Their children no longer knew the Lord. They were just like the pagans. And he says, now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. Interesting.
You know that Allah was originally a moon god?
Really? Interesting to me. He says, blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Avon. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke among the tribes of Israel. I make known what is sure.
Gibeah and Ramah were cities in Benjamin on the border with the northern kingdom of Israel. God says, hey, when you see the destruction coming, y'all better prepare. Because when it comes, it's not going to stop there. It's going to go travel down into Gibeah and Benjamin. Ramah, blow the trumpet. It's a warning. It's a call to muster, call to arms. Hey, we're being attacked. Blow the horn. The Assyrians, when they came in 721 BC, they defeated Israel. After they took Israel captive, guess what? They went south. Guess where they went? Gibeah and Ramah.
How did God know that? He's God.
I love prophecy. You got to love prophecy. You look at all these things in the Bible that God said was going to happen, and they happen. And then you got like 25% of the Bible that hasn't happened yet.
What do you think?
Prophecy's not important.
You're an idiot.
It's important. It's very important. How do you know what God's going to do if prophecy isn't important? You don't need to get all hung up on it, and it's your only thing, but it is very important.
Verse 10. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precept. Therefore, I will be to Ephraim like a moth and to the house of Judah like rottenness.
God said the princes of Judah were corrupt and dishonest.
Corrupt!
They were like people who moved boundary stakes. They had rocks. They said, this is the boundary of our territory. Well, you get up in the middle of the night and you move them over.
Oh, give me land, lots of land.
Yeah, just move that over there. They were corrupt. Ephraim willingly walked by human precept, trusting in the wisdom and counsel of man rather than trusting God.
Do we ever do that?
What do you think I ought to do?
Well, why don't you ask God?
I don't know. I'll tell you something. I'll give you an answer. Well, I think you ought to do this.
You really want my advice?
Go ask God. Ask the Lord. They were unwilling to trust the Lord. They were only willing to trust in what they could see and what they could understand.
I'm so glad we're not ever like that.
But look. The Lord says, I will be to Ephraim like a moth and to the house of Judah like rottenness.
We had moths. You ever have moths, pantry moths?
My gosh. It is a plague in the pantry.
We finally got these little things that have pheromones in them.
And it tracks the moths.
You know, because we'd get rid of the moths, but they'd come back because they lay their stinking teeny tiny moth eggs and they wait until you're rejoicing that they're gone. And then they all hatch.
Do you know? Have you had this problem?
It's a plague, isn't it?
Go on the internet, get the pheromone little things, and after several months, It attracts all the males because they're smelling female moths. This is way more than you need on a Wednesday night, isn't it? But all the males go after the female pheromone, and pretty soon there's no more males to mate and no more eggs, and hallelujah, the plague is over. Moths are not good. I will be to Ephraim like a moth. Whew, that's bad. Into the house of Judah like dry rot. I mean, just slowly eaten away and destroying. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, this is what they did. They went to the Lord. No! Then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jerob, "Can you help us? Yet he cannot cure you, nor heal you of your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. I will take them away, and no one shall rescue." God says, look, I'm going to bring judgment. I'm going to be like a lion after the prey. Who goes and grabs the zebra from the lion? Nobody! On Wild Kingdom, the lions, they all sit there and eat it until they're bored, and then they leave. God had pronounced judgment upon them because of their sin, and there was no way for them to escape. So the Lord says, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face in their affliction. They will earnestly seek me. We wait until there's affliction. We wait until God's hand is heavy upon us to cry out. Don't wait. Now this blows my mind. Back in chapter, what was it? In chapter 3. For the children of Israel, verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. When we looked at that, we said that's the condition of Israel today. Without king, without priest, without sacrifice, without the ephod. That's their condition. Because they've rejected God. Now, go back and look here again at verse 15. In chapter 5, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Think about Jesus. He's in the temple. He said, where I go, you cannot go. Where's he going? He said to him, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then he went to the cross. And he died. And he was buried. And he was resurrected. And then he ascended to the Father. He returned to his place. In the tribulation, the Jews are going to be aligned with the Antichrist until he comes into the temple and demands to be worshipped as God. When that happens, they're going to say, we've been had. At that time, the Antichrist is going to pour out his wrath on them. They're going to cry out to God. They will acknowledge their offense and seek his face. Then they will see the Lord coming on the clouds of glory, and they will look upon him who they have pierced. At that time, they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. What do you think the chances of that happening are? I think it's pretty good. I think it's soon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that we would not only have a knowledge of you, but, Lord, would have a relationship with you. That you want us to have more than just a knowledge. And so, Lord, we just come to you. We surrender ourselves to you. We pray, Lord, seeking you, not waiting until we're afflicted, not waiting until you're judging us, but coming to you now and saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us, that you'd bless us, that you'd cause your face to shine upon us. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, well, God bless you. Hey, look, read two more chapters. Go ahead and read three chapters. It could happen, okay? It's good stuff, okay? Don't be a gomer or a goober, okay? All right.